You're listening to The Polished Woman with Jessica Bunavach, only on LA Talk Radio.
And now your award-winning host, Jessica R. Bunavach. Hey, Jess.
Hey! Oh, what's that? How are you? Happy
Happy Monday. You know, it's funny. Like, I have this this new, when I do Max and Friends, I'm like trying to figure out ways to like, you know, look like I'm friendly and at home. Yeah. So like my new shows are, I'm like always sitting on the floor now.
It's super nice. Look at all the green and the orange. I love it.
Yeah. You know, but how are you?
I'm good, but you're so pink. I love your color.
Well, you know, the light is off. I'm a little more tan if you saw me, but I've been sitting out in the sun. So you've been so busy, busy, busy.
So busy. Oh my gosh. But it's good.
Are you like, are you burnt out yet? Are you burnt out yet?
I know, right? This is like, when you sent me this, I was like, and then I researched about her. Oh my gosh. This is like so perfect. I felt like God sent you to this, you know, this email. And you just checked it and you're like, okay, this is perfect for me. Actually, not just for me, but for you, for all of us who are trying to be, you know, trying to do our career, be so busy and reaching our goals and dreams. And, you know, for my daughter as well, Brianna, it's so perfect for her.
You know, I think the cell phone and being accessible is a huge attribution to the stress level that we have. You know, I had a conversation the other day with my attorney and he was like, you know, back in the day, someone would write a letter and then you would have to wait a week and then they would respond. You know, now it's like, if you don't reply right away, I'm getting another lawyer, you know? And it's like, what? Like this need to want to get, you know, attention and to get responses so rapidly.
Yeah.
I think really makes a huge stress on us to like overachieve. You know, and it's, to me, it's exhausting. You know, it's like I'm constantly, you know me, I'm like phone, computer.
Yes.
Like nonstop. And like one phone is book, one phone is Polished Woman, one phone is, you know, Max and Friends. And it's just like, you know, gathering all this information and not fully processing the information and then being sensitive to the information. But yet so much information is coming in that it's like, how do I prioritize it? And then how do I really react to all this information?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's an overload. There's an overload. If we were computers, we would need to be like reset, rebooted, shut down, go to sleep so that we could reboot. But
so that's so true.
You know, so today's show is perfect because everyone, and now when we're at home and people are getting back, you know, into the office, but they're also working from home, there's distraction. And then on top of distraction, there's a million things going on at home. You know, so it's like, okay, I love working from home, but now the dogs are always around, the kids are always around, the spouse is always around. I don't have any privacy. Like, I just want to scream, you know?
Was it hard for you going back to like the normal, you know, the normal life being, you know, like being, what do you call that? What is that word again? Being lockdown, just staying at home and no one's calling. We used to like talk for like hours and stuff. And now we're like, okay, I'm rushing. I have to go. Now we talk like once a week or twice a week.
You know, it's an interesting question. It is an interesting question because being in Florida, you know, it never really locked down in Florida. So things were kind of still open and busy even last, you know, a year and a half ago. So like, you know, things were still open. So I never really understood the lockdown until like things started getting a little more crazy here and then like elections. And I was like, oh, I'm not staying in Florida. It's too crazy. And then I went to Colorado and they were like, so in Boulder, they were so cautious about everything. Things were closed. So it was kind of an adjustment from, wow, like we really weren't affected in South Florida. And now, I mean, even here now, this is Florida's like a hot spot for COVID. But yet everybody's out. And a friend of mine works on this cruise ship and he's like, the cruise is packed. So there's so much going on, even though like, you know, despite of what's happening. But so to go back into full swing into normal, you know, I remember when I started doing America's Next Top Model and then I was doing television and then all of this. And literally I burnt out. You know, I was exhausted. Yeah. I didn't want to do it anymore. And that's why 13 years ago, I found LA Talk Radio because it was a space where I could come and just like exhale and relax. Yes. And, you know, I've been doing remote shows for 13 years. So I wasn't always
in
the studio.
True.
You know,
so for
me, I took the show on the road. And whether I was in New York, in Connecticut, in Italy, in Florida, wherever I was remote. So for me, the burnout aspect was when I wasn't able to really make my own schedule. And I was like on someone else's schedule, and it was filming and television and this and that and cooking shows and then all that. And then I was just like, it came to a point where I was like, I need to exhale. You know, everyone talks about breathe, but no one talks about exhale. You know, the exhale is to me the most important part. Have you been exhaling lately? Because you've been so astronomically busy. And you know, you're like my mom. The two of you don't even breathe well anyway, you know? Like,
I know. You and my mom, hardly breathe.
Deep breaths is like... Yeah, it's like, you know, like you, there's a process
of
breathing.
Even in prayer, that breathing, the inhale and exhale, the exhale is good. You're right. Because when you exhale all the bad stuff. So you need to exhale and exhale everything.
Yeah, the exhale is pretty major, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. Oh, so I'm really excited called HSP, the hypersensitive, I don't know what, I forgot what it is, but. I don't know if you and I are that, you know, like I want to find out all of these things, you know, I want to.
Well, you know, Kathy, she's coming on the show in just a bit.
Yeah.
It's for all of you ladies and mothers and everyone who's listening tonight, no matter what podcasting platform you're tuning to, follow Jess at The Polish Woman. We've got a great show for you today because it's literally talking about how to. Exhale. How to decompress, how to stay focused, and how to realize, like, am I sensitive? Am I not? Like, where am I in this race? And overload and burning
out. Overload and burning out. And look at this. I'm itchy now. And she just literally, like, mentioned about this. And there's nothing, like, there's no insect, there's nothing, but I'm itchy. It's a sign of having this highly sensitive person, that HSP that she was saying. So, I am so excited to talk to her. And guess what, love? She is actually in Belgium right now.
Yeah.
So it's pitch dark and she has this beautiful light in her. So I hope you guys... Look, I'm itchy. Oh, my God.
You see? But you know what? For every action, there's a reaction. There's cause and effect. So we're going to find out about that cause and effect now on The Polish Woman. Hey, Sam, let's bring in Kathy.
Yes. Hey, Kathy. Hi. Thank you so much. Great.
I would say good evening, but it's past lunchtime over there, right?
I know. Thank you so much for waking up. Did you wake up for us or stay late for us?
I stayed up late, yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. This is such an important topic, and what you do is so amazing, and I'm so happy that you're here right now. You know, I want to, sharing with us, because I think I have HSP. I think Max has HSP. Everyone has HSP. Okay. So I want you to share with us a little bit. First, I want you to share with us a little bit about, you know, yourself. Just share to our listeners, you know, how long have you been coaching and how you first got into this field, you know?
Okay. So I think it must have been 4 or 5 years ago that I started coaching full time. The reason I focused straight away on the high sensitivity is because I noticed that had been my biggest struggle all my life, actually, without me knowing it. Because like you say so beautifully, very often we have no idea that we are highly sensitive people.
Yeah.
And itchiness is, for example, one of the things I have. I notice when I...
You
when
do
I,
too?
When I record videos or when I gave coaching calls, I'm always like...
I know. I was just telling myself I'm itchy right now because I'm really, really exhausted a little bit. So, yeah. And I want to tell this... hold on. I forgot to actually even announce you. Kathy Spaz, right? Spaz, right?
Yeah.
It's S-P-A-A-S. So, yes. And then you used to be a jumper. My daughter... She's an equestrian as well. She jumps as well. And she used to, she was burnt out when she was at age 16, I believe. So, okay, tell us more about that whole situation and the field that you're in right now. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So my big dream was going to the Olympics, horseback riding and doing show jumpings, because I grew up in that world. You know, my father always was in horses, still is. The whole family is a little bit. And there was just one thing that I was going to do growing up, and that was becoming a horseback rider. And so I did. But when I was 14, I was doing international shows with my ponies, and we were going everywhere, and it was the best part of your life, you know? But then my father really believed in me, but he put so much pressure on me, and for sure, for all the good reasons, but I just didn't know how to cope with that. So I just started focusing on everything that went wrong instead of what I was doing good. Meaning that during those periods of time to come after that, I just completely froze when I had to do a big show or a final or anything that was a little bit important, which just would make me block inside. And I just didn't want anything else so bad than this to work. So there was a lot of pressure from the inside of me, but also from my surrounding. And that made me completely, completely go the wrong way. I just lost all.
Wow.
Yeah, I just got really insecure. And in the end, there was so much pressure on me that when I finally had my own horse stable at the age of 29, I just sold it all, because I just lost all passion, because I didn't know how to deal with the stress and with the pressure and everything that came along with it.
So you lost your passion because of all the stress? Why is that?
Because when you start feeling that you have to do these things and that you just have to perform, you know, you lose all the fun, and then you lose connection with the thing that was driving you in the first place. And that was a little bit what happened to me. And I could only feel what was going wrong and what didn't work out. So I lost all joy in the whole process. Don't get me wrong. Wow. I am, you know, I have my sport horses again, and I am having fun.
Yes.
Not at this point because I'm pregnant, but you know, so that's just...
Congratulations.
Thanks. But that has been amazing to really get back into that, but from a completely different perspective. And you get a lot better results doing it that way. So that was really interesting for me as well.
Wow. This is like literally... Wow. Your story is like literally the story of my daughter. My husband is so into my husband was so into it. Yeah, but she's not pregnant, okay? but she was, you know, in the beginning at age 14, 15, she was like, oh my God, yes, we're going to do it. Like every day she was so excited. And then I just noticed like slowly she was like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired, you know, and she's becoming like when she comes home from horseback, from competition, she would just lock herself and just be inside the room, dark room. And I noticed that, and I'm like, oh my God, this is not right anymore. She has to do something else. And but I mean, thank you for telling me this. And then the whole COVID happened that she stopped. Somehow it was good. You know, it was good. But then again, now she wants to go back because I think she had that whole year of, you know, rest. But this is amazing. Anyway, in addition to coaching, you know, I know that you coach athletes and performers, and also I want to know about these creatives. How do you define creatives, and why do creatives need coaching? I was just asking Max about this. Yeah, and why? How do they get burnout? What is creatives?
Creatives, in my case, is I work with a lot of artists, like singers, songwriters, directors, actors, because those are people who have to put a lot of empathy and creativity into their work. And being highly sensitive means that we have a stronger activated right hemisphere of the brain. So the empathy, the creativity, the problem solving, those are actually qualities that are very much activated for us, which can lead to amazing results, but which also, of course, leads to taking on the emotions of others, being very sensitive for criticism, being very hard on yourself, getting stuck in perfectionism. And then one of the things that my clients struggle most with is, you know, that little computer in our brain.
Yeah.
Always on and always working and always doing overtime. And that's a little bit what you guys were talking about before.
Yeah.
You know, if it doesn't matter if it comes to social media or just us thinking about things all the time. How can we do it better? How can this work? How can this serve the people around me? And there's just no off button. And that can really
that can really
make your stress levels shoot through the rooftop
because
there is no more decompressing. And how, that actually, yeah.
How do we create this off button? And that's it's very hard, right? I mean, I think Max, for you and I, we pray. Yeah. Sam, can we bring in Max for a while? Because I mean, how can you turn it off?
Well, it is. I always compare it to top sport. This is pure training. You can compare your brain to muscles and you can train it. And that is what I do with my clients. Yeah. That is also the reason why I work for minimum 6 months with my clients. Because if I work with you, then we will have to start learning this new sport. Yeah. And we will be working on that training the brain so that it can learn how to find inner peace in your mind again. And so it can learn how to deal with those challenges that come alongside with this, but also fully optimize and use the qualities that are there as well, thanks to this characteristic.
Max, I think you and I are the same. I think we have this. You, especially you.
Hi, Kathy. So, you know, like literally I'm sitting here producing this show on this phone for Jess with social media on this phone. So it's like, I appreciate the off button. And like Jessica said, for me, the off button is a lot of meditation and prayer and just being still and know.
Yeah.
But, you know, to remind ourselves to get into that phase of meditation or to get into those prayer moments. For you, Kathy, what do you offer our listeners? And I'm going to take the advice too. And I know Jessica will as well.
Yeah.
It's easy to say there's the off button. And how do we create the off button?
Mm-hmm.
The off button we already have in us. So how do we reconnect with the off button is, I guess, the question that I know a lot of our listeners are going to ask. How do we get into the off button mode? Because we used to be able to do it before social media and a million things and being a parent and being a, you know, having jobs and working at home. So the question is, how do we reconnect with our off button?
No, even while I pray or meditate, when you see the light come, you're distracted already, right? How do you do it? Help us, Kathy.
Yeah, so I will come back to the part where I'll tell you it is about training your brain. You know, there is not the golden pill who will help you create that button. It's about training it. But I love the fact that you're meditating and that you're praying, because those are definitely two tools that you can use to find that inner peace again. But it would help to just, you know, turn the phone off and turn it around.
Yeah.
Doing it. So make it easier for yourself. But the way I work, because I'm not the kind of person who likes to sit still for a very long time. So I, you know, we all have a busy schedule. And even if you're not highly sensitive, we're all overstimulated this day and age. So
yeah,
that's just something that is present for everyone. So the thing is, I love to work with very short and powerful exercises that create just that little bit of breathing space for your brain. Let's call it that. Because by just focusing on the inside again, connecting with your body, for example, I'll just give a quick example. When you take the stairs, just take the stairs very consciously. Feel how your feet are connecting with the stairs and be very present in the moment. That way, your brain is getting a little bit of relaxation time and you're connecting to your body, which gives your cortisol levels time to just reduce a little bit again. when you go to the bathroom, just be mindful about your breathing. Just use some, so you don't have to do these spectacular exercises. Just take slow breaths through the nose and bring your air as deep in your stomach as you can and just breathe out through your nose again and keep doing that. And just those small moments during the day just mm-hmm. have a huge impact on your quality of life because mm-hmm. you are constantly reducing your stress levels, mm-hmm. which means that you're creating a lot more mental resilience, inner peace, quiet in your brain, because you are training your brain to very often, even if it's for a short time, to just come back with your attention in your body and just connecting with your, yeah, with your soul, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
love to say it that way, because, you know, that's in the end all that we have to do, just be. And that's where all the beauty lies. But today, that's the hardest thing to do because we all have these judgments, even on ourselves, that we just always have to be doing something. I know that that is one of my biggest challenges. Anyway.
Yeah.
But how is coaching creative similar to more, you know, to more traditional coaching? You know, how is it different?
Well, because when I look at my clients, for example, when I talk about professional performers and artists and those kind of creatives, mm-hmm. then they are just constantly being put under the spotlight. So everything that is going on in their life is under a magnifying glass. Mm-hmm. And we already do that. Being highly sensitive, we already constantly overanalyze ourselves and our every move because we always want to make sure that everyone is happy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, I'm saying that because Jessica and I, you know, we're both Aquarians and we both kind of have the same frequency and vibration.
Yeah.
And also we have the same patterns and pathologies where we are achievers. We love to make sure that everyone is happy before we are. We want, we're the problem solvers.
Yeah.
And then in the problem solving, we've created even more problems for ourselves because we have our problems because we're dealing with everyone else's. Right?
Right.
So for Jess, you know, Kathy, when you say breathe, you know, Jessica, I've known for years and years. And I know one of Jessica's way of breathing is a very quick, sharp breath.
Yeah.
You know, I've been doing meditation and yoga since I'm 13. So my breath is a little more different where I can really get lost in breath.
Yeah.
But for women like Jessica who have that high paced life, who have that quick breathing, what are some techniques you can give our listeners now to actually know, you know, there's breathing and then there's conscious breathing. So how do you express conscious breathing and define conscious breathing to our listeners?
Okay, that's a great question, actually. You know, I do have to say the work I do is not only about breathing, but mm-hmm. there's definitely, when I start, the basic is definitely the breathing. Mm-hmm. That's what we have to start with, because when you breathe consciously, mindfully, that's the first thing that will help you in a very easily way to, you know, to integrate in your day-to-day routine to help you reduce those stress levels. So, and it can be done with very short amounts of time to build in your routine. But for me, it's about actually the way I tell you, if I work with you, for example, is like I said, through the nose, in and out, and you mm-hmm. just slowly start bringing the air into your stomach. And in the beginning, you'll feel resistance here because we, you know, with that fast pace, we are, and now that, you know, being pregnant, there's mm-hmm. not much deeper than here. So it's at this point. So I can very much sense the difference in effect now. But we feel our breath can stop here because we are always, you know, on the run, even in our mind, even when we're sitting still. So slowly, don't force yourself, but slowly bring the air just a little bit deeper, and then you go again, and just a little bit deeper. But the second part of this exercise is park your thoughts, because when we start doing the 3 minutes in the morning, you know, with the very first exercise I give you, then there will be not 100, not 1,000, but 1 million thoughts that will come to your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the very key is to not judge yourself for the thoughts being there, but just very kindly, just, you know, okay, I noticed that I'm getting distracted. So very in a kind and friendly way, I'm parking the thought. I'm not going to engage in it, and I'm going to bring my attention back very lovingly to my breathing. And that is something that in 3 minutes, you will be stunned and amazed how many times we'll have to do that.
Wow. But
that is very much the training that we start with when I work with you, because that is how you train your brain.
Parking the thoughts.
Yeah.
Yes, let me ask you a question. Jess, when you wake up, the first thing you do you grab your cell phone?
No, I actually don't. I try
you
not
don't?
To.
Okay.
I actually
you
try not to
or you don't. There's a difference.
No, I don't. I don't.
It's not judging. It's just asking.
On Mondays, though, I do, because I know that you might be calling me or someone, you know, on Mondays. But on other days, I try not to. I try to like really start my day with prayer and meditation. I try because if not, then, you know, as soon as you grab your phone, you know, every you know, the emails, you forget about it. So my prayer and meditation is actually consumed with what's going to happen for the day. So it's kind of like hard. That's why I try not to, like, you know, take it, you know, before I pray. But speaking of that, you know, we all know that the Olympics just happened, right? In looking at what athletes like Simone Biles, you know, are doing in terms of prioritizing their mental health, right? She really prioritized her mental health over competing. How do you, as a coach, connect with someone who is telling you that they've reached a particular limit? Because I mean, that happened to my daughter.
Yeah,
and
we have an amazing example in our beautiful country of Belgium, because we had Nafitiam win for the second time gold.
Mm-hmm.
And she is very young still. And she had a lot of mental challenges going on for herself. And it just broke my heart when I saw her doing the interview, sharing with everyone that, you know, she had gold, but now she was feeling empty. And I thought, that is just not right. You know, that is not why you are in this sport. And I'm feeling very sad even that this is not part of training. How is that possible that the mental aspect is not part of top sporters training at that level? I mean, they need as much mental support as they need physical support. So for me, that should just be like part of the entire concept. And I'm very, very happy that there are, especially the last months, there are a lot of athletes opening up.
Yes, I love that. Yes.
About it. And I have a lot of respect when they do take a step back. And honestly, it's like when you're driving a car. You know, sometimes you just have to get a gear back just for a very short amount of time, but you'll be able to pull up a lot faster after that. So when you can really give this time for yourself after that, it's just like a skyrocket, because that foundation is strong and you can start building from there. And that just generates a lot more, not just happiness, but also amazing results.
Wow. This is, you know, it's funny because
I'm taking notes, Jess. I'm taking
notes. I know. It's funny because, you know, Kathy, my daughter, she used to compete all the time. And now she's, you know, she's singing, she's acting. She discovered all of these talents during COVID. Her singing thing, she was like, oh my gosh, you can literally sing. And now she's making a career off of it. But she was for a while, a little bit depressed because she's used to, with a horse, she's used to every competition, every time she gets on that horse, and after the horse, she gets a medal. She gets a trophy. And so she's like, where is my trophy? She's looking for that trophy. She's looking for that medal. And I'm like, well, this is not a competition. But your trophy and your medal will later on come when you, you know, when you succeed, it's weird that I'm trying to like, how do you explain this? Because I know that every single parent out there, you know, they always give a reward. Like, for example, oh, you have a good grades, then here's your reward. And then if they don't get reward or candy or anything like that, they don't, you know, they don't really push, you know, pursue whatever they're trying to pursue. How can, how, what is your advice regarding this? How will, how can, and most of our listeners are moms, how can we help all moms out there who are, you know, who kids are in competitions or kids who are trying to excel in, you know, at school and stuff like that. Like, how can you, how can you help them?
That's an amazing question, because it is true what you're saying. You know, we are getting instant gratification from every achievement that we accomplish. But when we teach our children, and especially ourselves, because we do have to be the example, you know, children, they copy our behavior. So monkey see, monkey do. So we, first of all, have to show them how this works. And besides that, just help them to find inner gratification instead of for the achievements.
From, okay. How can they find that? Where do they get the inner gratification?
By taking the attention off the result, but more onto the process and onto who they are and the way they are feeling while they're doing it. So again, connection to the inside.
Wow. You hear that, Matt?
Yeah, they will shine through on the outside, because that's just, you know, how it works.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's real. Okay. So yeah, we need tips. So what tips can, you know, what tips can the moms start with right now? You know, how do you set healthy boundaries, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Setting healthy boundaries is definitely a thing that is not always easy for us, because we are the people pleasers. So very much we are constantly worrying or thinking about what other people will think when we do this or that. So first of all, shut that off, you know, bark it lovingly, like, okay, this is not the truth. This is just something that I am thinking. Just start being more and more aware of, I always compare it with a record, you know, you're putting a record on in your mind. And playing, and is this record actually serving me, or is it actually holding me back? Because very often we get held back by the thoughts in our mind because of the judgments we would expect from others. So first of all, there's that part. And then besides that, it's about getting very clear with what it is that you need or want. And set a clear framework for others to see. Because especially highly sensitive people, we feel very much what other people need. So we try to give them that as much as you know, as we can. But the downside is that we also think or expect other people to feel and just know what it is that we need. And we're not always, honestly, the best communicators on that. So that is very disappointing. And that can cost a lot of energy. So it's about, first of all, get clear with what it is that you need as a person. And then stick to it, you know, stay true to that boundary, so that your loved ones can actually start to see that there is a line and that they, you know, they're not to cross it. And in the beginning, I'm sure that that will create a lot of resistance, because, hey, they've been used to you letting them pass those lines all the time. So now that we're also a little bit of resistance for them, and that is giving them the space to grow as well. By not letting them cross it, you are giving them the space to grow as well. Plus, especially when it comes to children, it's a lot easier for them to know very well where your boundaries are and that you stay consistent to them. Because that is for them, that gives them peace and quiet. Because that's clear, you know, that gives them structure. And that's something that children very much need, though.
And discipline, right? Do you think there will be, you can also help, or do you think, what advice can you give to someone who's maybe actually struggling with keeping their boundaries intact?
Yeah, well, that's a little bit, it's always not a little bit to bring, you know, 6 months into like an hour or something, but that is actually how we train that brain to just, you know, get out of your head, into your body, feel what it is that you need, make sure that you communicate it and that you stay very clear on that and that you just stay true to yourself. Because I thought that you guys really put it out there very beautifully, as in we're always taking care of everyone else, but then we come last and our problems aren't solved. That is actually the top example of what my clients deal with. So then it comes to first making the journey inside so that you get clear on what it is that you need and what you need solved. So you can actually start, you know, bringing that to your attention will already create space for the solutions to show themselves.
Yeah. Okay, now, Kathy, I want to ask you, what are the signs of having HSP or being a highly sensitive person? Because, you know, because you said there's emotional signs, there's a lot of signs that you see, right? Can you, like, tell us and share with us what the different signs, you know, that can you actually see? You know, I want to know about this. I want to know if my other daughter has it, or my son, or my, you know, my two daughters, or even my husband. Yeah.
Well, first of all, it is genetic. So if you think your daughter has it, it's probably true that you're have it too, or your parents, or, you know, but it is genetic. And it is also true that almost 1 in 5 people in the world are highly people. And as much men as women. So there's often the mistake that this is just about being hypersensitive. That's why I'm not always fond of the name, but it is it's not a disease, you know, don't worry. You don't got scabies or something. It's just a characteristic trait. Mm-hmm. And it actually has a lot of gifts that come with it, but it's like a medal. It always has two sides. And we need to know how to deal with the challenges. But the way you can see HSP, highly sensitive people, is we have the physical aspect. So, for example, I have very hypersensitive skin. So there's the tags that just irritate me. Or I love glitter fabric, but I can't wear it because, you know, I'm itching all day long. I just don't have it. I used to have a boyfriend who had a beard, and when he was laying with his head on my shoulder, that would just be red and irritated. So that is one thing. There's also the hearing. Like, for example, when someone makes really loud noise or starts speaking very loud in my ear, I can't support that. That's me. Yeah, that is, and you know, it's with all senses that way. I gave lectures, and then I always had this note that people could fill in, like, you know, what could improve. And then there were people who were saying, like, oh, maybe, you know, you could dim the light just a little bit because it was so bright. And I thought, oh, you see, I didn't even notice that, because that is not my sensitivity, but those people were sensitive for the light. And I had this actress that I worked with, and she had the thing with smells. You know, I have a good sense of smell, but she said when she was giving trainings on speaking publicly and when she was working with colleagues on a movie, that she could just smell the fear in their sweat.
Wow.
Anxiety. So that is not lovely to experience, but it can be part of. And then I had this client and she said, yeah, but you know, I was always the person on parties, being on the table and going all out, and so was I.
Yeah.
But we tend to forget that alcohol numbs the senses and numbs the stimulation. So yeah, for sure we didn't notice that we couldn't handle all that noise and that we were being overstimulated because we were numbing the stimulation with the alcohol subconsciously. So
wow.
Yeah, that's really interesting. But, you know, that's why it's not always clear. And you don't have to have these sensitivities. That's a possibility. It's like you said, there's also the emotional aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Because our right hemisphere of the brain is stronger activated. We have mirror neurons, you know, who
yeah.
they see, who uh-huh. are stronger activated, which can make us feel really what we see someone else feeling. Like, for example, mm-hmm. you go to a funeral, and I've had that I didn't know anyone there, just the mm-hmm. one person whose grandfather died. I just knew that girl, and I was crying harder than like most of the family even.
Yeah.
So I was happy that I could train that, and now for me it's easier to deal with that, because that can be very much overwhelming. But that's also the reason why actors and singers, for example, are so good.
Are good because they're very hypersensitive. Because yeah.
they just absorb it like a sponge, and they can use yeah. and channel all these emotions. So that is actually why mm-hmm. I love working with these artists, because I know exactly how that feels. And then there's also the social aspect, where a lot of HSP can get drained from being in bigger groups
yes.
or situations. So that can be part, but you know, we've got HSP who are very outgoing, and there's HSP who are very mm-hmm. introverted. So we're all
there's people. Two different ways. Yeah.
Yeah. We've got all different qualities and
yeah.
characteristics. So that's beautiful. We're not just HSP, but the
yeah.
interesting part of being highly sensitive
okay.
is deeper processing in the brain. So that mm. means we already have like all this input that is coming in, like I said, with our senses, through the emotions,
everything yeah. we're
picking up.
Yeah.
But our brain goes, and it's going to process it on a deeper level. And that is why so many geniuses are also highly sensitive, because
yeah.
the deeper processing of the brain. So
wow.
that is why I think this, it is just such an honor. I feel like one of the X-Men, you know, that is just like, wow.
yeah.
We can feel things and even see details that other people
yeah.
don't notice, but it has
wow.
it has the challenges that come along with it as well. And if you know how to deal with those,
you know how to deal with this. Yeah. Oh my God, this is so amazing. Oh my God. Kathy, we only have 3 minutes left. I'm like learning so much, and Max and I are taking notes. Oh my gosh, I feel like it's so quick. Okay, last one. Can you just give what can our viewers and listeners take home from this one? Do you have anything important, something that is important for them to take home before we end? We have 3 minutes.
Okay. The most important yeah. thing is that you know that there's a diamond inside of you, and it is
yes.
there, and it is waiting for you to unleash it. And you can only unleash it by going inside first. And that doesn't mean that you have to go through your shit over and over again, because you've been doing that for years already. That doesn't work, you know? That record is not serving you. Go inside and get in touch with your qualities, with the things you're grateful for, with the things you love about yourself. Please start looking at yourself from that perspective. And from there on, the more that you enjoy your life and you can be grateful for the small things, the more your diamond will start to shine, and everyone will start to enjoy
wow.
that aspect of you as well. That is for me the most important thing. That is why my tagline is claim your shine and own it.
Yeah, and you are about to shine, claim your shine. Okay, one more question. How, if you're already shining out there, how, if you are already the diamond, how do you maintain it?
Yeah, well, that is by setting those boundaries, by bringing peace in your mind, training your brain, and by staying true to the things that you need and you that bring you joy, to the bliss. Because often
the bliss.
They lose themselves in the process and in the journey, because then we have to become something that we're not, and we have to be mindful of our identity and all those things that come along with being there. And that pressure, but just always connect with the inside and feel that bliss, joy, gratitude. Stick to it, be yourself, and have fun.
Yay! Oh my God. Kathy, how can they reach you? Where can they reach and how? Yeah,
my Instagram, I'm often sharing content there with at Kathy's Pass, but also my website is probably the best place, which is KathySpasAcademy.com.
Yeah, Kathy Spas Academy. I am following you right now, Kathy. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on the show. Oh my gosh, and say hello from Belgium. Thank you. I will contact you, Kathy. I need you. I think my daughter and I need you. Thank you so much. For all of us who need help at some juncture in our lives, and all of us capable of being, you know, of being help, of being to help us, a help to others, take time to ask for what you need and assist others where and when you can. Don't forget to give love to the next person that you see after watching and listening to our show. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Polish Woman Show. Thank you. Bye.
You're listening to The Polished Woman with Jessica Bunavach, only on LA Talk Radio.